Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Christian author and speaker, Troy Black. We're praying that, as you listen, God will reveal His love, grace, and truth to you in a deeper way. After listening, don't forget to connect with Troy on YouTube and Facebook. May this message from Troy inspire you in your walk with Christ.
Hey y'all, this is Troy Black. I want to read this verse to you, and you've probably heard this verse before if you're a Christian or if you've been in church before. This is actually one of the passages that talks about the Great Commission, but I'm going to read it, and I honestly believe there's a part of this that we as Christians sometimes miss, and that I believe is very important. So this is starting in Luke 24, 44 through 49. It says, this is Jesus talking. "Now he said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses to these things. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.'" So this is the Great Commission, which is the sending out of Jesus's followers. He tells his followers, he tells us as believers, to go into all the world and preach the good news. The good news is the simple message of the gospel that Jesus died on a cross and that he rose again. And that when we believe in him, when we repent and believe in him, we get to receive salvation through faith. And so Jesus gives his followers the Great Commission. But something that I believe we miss sometimes is that right after this, he actually gives his followers a commandment. He's telling them, you need to wait, go out into all the world, but first wait until you are clothed with power from on high. And I actually got a prophetic word from the Holy Spirit this week. I was just sitting there worshiping him a little bit. He spoke very clearly to my heart that some of the body of Christ is trying to do the work of the Lord, yet they are doing it in their own strength. And I believe this word applies to me sometimes as well. You know, I believe that some of us, we really want to fulfill the Great Commission. We really want to proclaim the gospel. We want to we want to be known by our love. We want to speak the truth in love. And yet we are trying to do these things in our own strength. And Jesus gives us the solution to this right here. And he says, wait. He says, go and do it, but don't do it until you receive power from the Holy Spirit. And here's what's so amazing about this, what happens right after this. You know, the writer of this gospel, Luke, I believe one of the reasons he includes this in here, you know, the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Gospels to include certain things in the different Gospels, but he was also using these men in the way that God had created them. You know, he used them in unique ways because they had unique personalities. And so Luke was focusing on certain things. And one of the things Luke did was he went around, he was a historian and a doctor. And so he went around and he actually followed up on all these events and saw what was happening. I believe Luke included this because he had seen the results of people being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He had seen what happens after the Holy Spirit shows up, you know? And so he saw how important this was. Just to kind of show you what happened, you know, the day of Pentecost happens a little over a month and a half after this. What's so amazing is Peter, he was always so rash, you know, always doing things like in the spur of the moment, whatever he felt like doing. And yet here he does what Jesus tells him to do and he waits. And then as soon as the Holy Spirit shows up and the power of God shows up, Peter begins to proclaim the good news and 3,000 people get saved on that same day. You know, a huge impact for the kingdom happens. The same impact would never have happened if Peter had gone out and started proclaiming the gospel, you know, doing the work of God, doing, you know, what God is asking him to do, but doing it in his own strength. It never would have worked out the same way. And I believe some of us as believers, we're doing what God is asking us to do. Maybe some of us are in ministry, or maybe we're volunteers at a church, or we're just trying to love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, we're just trying to be Christ-like, or we're trying to be witnesses for him on our social media platforms or in person. But some of us are doing it in our own strength. I just actually got done filming another video today, which I probably released before this one. And if you haven't gotten a chance to go watch it, go watch it. Because in this other video where I talk about being refreshed by the presence of the Lord, I actually spent some time at the end of that video waiting in God's presence. And I believe that if you haven't watched that video, you need to go watch it, because this is where we start to receive that power from God. You know, the disciples, they were meeting together and they were praying and they were worshiping the Lord. And it was when they were seeking God together that the Holy Spirit showed up in power. So if you're not doing that right now, I really encourage you, take a little time every day and just begin to wait upon the Lord. Just begin to worship him and begin to expect God to move, and he will. The Holy Spirit will begin to move in power. And here's a verse that actually kind of backs that up biblically. It's Ephesians 1, 13 through 14. It says, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory." So the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit Jesus promised the early followers of him, you know, he promises to us. Because this verse says, after listening to the message of truth, that's when we heard the gospel of your salvation, having also believed. And then we believed it. It's saying that, this is what Paul is writing here to the Ephesians. He's saying that when you believe the gospel, man, you are set up to receive the inheritance of the saints. And the down payment on that inheritance is the Holy Spirit. He is the sealant. He's the stamp on that, that, you know, when someone inherits a house or a tract of land or something, there's a deed that comes with that inheritance. That stamp, that the Holy Spirit, us receiving him into our lives, and him beginning to work in our lives in every area of our lives, you know, not just when we're at church, but also when we're in business or when we're at our job or when we're in our family or trying to raise our kids or when we're in a relationship, whatever it might be, the Holy Spirit wants to show up in power. And that experience of God is God's stamp of approval, saying, yes, you are mine, and yes, I'm going to use you to do great and mighty things. Jesus said, the works that I do, you will do also. And he said, even greater things than these. But some of us, you know, we are trying to take verses like that, and we're trying to interpret them into something that we're experiencing instead of believing that what God is saying, that the power of the Holy Spirit that was available to the New Testament church, to the early disciples and the early apostles, that same power is available to us through an intimate walk with God today. Through us believing that what God is saying about this stamp of approval is true, about our inheritance as saints. It's kind of like a kid who gets this Christmas present, right? This young girl opens up this Christmas present. She's super excited because she thinks that her parents got her this thing that she really wants. She opens it, and it is this this talking doll, right? It's this doll that talks and walks and, like, you know, says all these things and does things and interacts. And she opens it, and she's so excited about this gift, this present, that she runs outside and she starts to play with it right away, but her parents have not had the chance to put the batteries into the doll yet, you know? So she's running outside and she's playing with this doll. She's heard so much about it, and yet it's just not as great as all her friends were telling her. She's like, man, this doll is supposed to be the greatest thing ever. It's supposed to be the best toy ever. And yet she's playing with it and she starts to get bored. She starts to realize, man, this doll is just like all my other dolls, right? You know? But the problem was that the doll had no power yet. You know, like, she had gotten the gift, but she had not received the power to go with it, you know? And so the doll was not doing the things it was supposed to be doing. The gospel of Jesus Christ, when it comes into our lives, it begins to change us from the inside out, you know? But it's the Holy Spirit speaking the words of God to our heart that really makes that impact permanent, and also that really begins to transfer the power of the gospel into every area of our life. And so some of us, we've received that gift, the gift of the gospel, and we are so excited at first. And yet, because we've been trying to do this in our own strength, because we've not been filled with power, or because we haven't been filled with the Spirit in a long time, man, we are getting exhausted. We are saying, oh man, what, you know, like, why is this so hard? And the answer is that we need to wait for our Heavenly Father. We need to wait upon God. We need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit before we keep moving forward.
This is Troy Black. I pray the Lord is speaking to you through this podcast. We'll get back to the message in a second, but I want to take a minute to tell you about how you can support this ministry. I'm able to create videos, books, podcasts, and other materials because of faithful supporters who value my content and who want to help me share the gospel with as many people as possible. All I ask is that you would pray about becoming a part of the work we're doing. Learn more by going to troyblackvideos.com. I hope you're blessed as you continue listening.
So I want to give you another example of this truth, and it's actually from the life of Moses. So if you've ever read about Moses in the Bible, or you've heard the story of Moses, you'll know that Moses eventually, God used Moses to free the children of Israelites from the rule of the Egyptians. They were actually slaves in the land of Egypt, and God set them free, and he sent Moses to set them free. To be this, Moses was actually a picture of Christ. He was like what you would call a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ, because he was this deliverer to God's people. And God was painting this picture of how he was going to send Jesus to deliver us, ultimately deliver us from sin and death. And so Moses actually had, the crazy thing is Moses had this call of God upon his life. He had this knowledge of and this desire to be a deliverer long before he was ever equipped and empowered to do that. And we actually see that in the book of Acts, in Acts 7:25, it says, "And he supposed that his brethren understood that God was granting them deliverance through him, but they did not understand." This is talking about Moses here. And this is actually referring to a moment where Moses is walking, you know, he's walking outside through the streets of Egypt, and he sees one of the Egyptians beating one of his fellow brothers. Like, Moses was raised in the Egyptian household, so he was, you know, kind of a prince of Egypt. And yet, so he had this amazing royal position and all these rights and everything that his fellow Israelites did not have. You know, they were slaves. And so, but when he saw one of his brothers being beat, he came to his assistance, and he actually ends up murdering this Egyptian and hiding his body in the sand. And he ends up having to run away because of what he does. And he spends a lot of time in the wilderness. He gets married. He becomes a shepherd and he's watching all these sheep. And his life actually looks like for a long time is going downhill based on this decision, this mistake that he makes. But here's the thing, Moses, the reason he did that was because he knew, he had this like internal knowledge that God had put inside of him that he was supposed to be a deliverer, you know, and that's what I think a lot of Christians have. We know God wants us to be living a certain way. We know God wants us to be witnesses for him, for his gospel, and yet we've not yet received the power of God to do those things. And so what's so amazing is Moses, he goes into the wilderness, you know, he gets married, he is a shepherd for a long time, and then I'm going to read a verse from chapter 3 of Exodus, and it's actually when Moses is walking along and he sees this burning bush. It's this bush that's on fire, and it's actually an angel of God that's set this bush on fire, and yet it's not burning up. So it's this wonder that catches Moses' attention, and he turns aside to come look at it, and then this is what God says to him. It says, "Then he said, 'Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground.'" So God is telling him, you're about to come into my presence, okay? You need to understand this. This is the Holy of Holies that you're stepping into. And the reason he pulled Moses into his presence was so that he could equip him with power and then send him out. This is where God, not only does he tell him specifically what he's supposed to be doing, but he also equips him and he empowers him, and he actually even gives him the ability to perform signs and wonders so that Moses can go back. And he also tells them, he tells Moses, "Hey, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be giving you the words to say." You know, Moses was not even, he was not good at speaking in front of people. And that was something that Moses complains about in front of God. And God tells him, "Didn't I make your mouth?" He says, "Don't I know these things?" And here's the thing. Moses, when God tells him to start doing this, Moses starts thinking about all of his defects. You know, he starts thinking about his talents and abilities, the things that he has. And he says, you know what? I don't think I'm ready for this. I don't think you got the wrong guy. But God would say the same thing to you that he said to Moses. It's not your power that's going to get the job done. It's God's power. And this is why we desperately need God's power to show up in our lives. I desperately need the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, some people think I'm here making videos and podcasts and writing books and stuff because of my own talents and abilities. That is not the case. That's not the case at all. If I did not have the Spirit of God helping me, I couldn't do any of this. You know, and honestly, none of us could. Like there are some of us that are more talented at things than others, but we all have our weak spots. We all have our deficiencies. We all have an inability to Jesus said. He said, you can do nothing apart from me, you know, and Jesus knows a lot better than we do. We think we can do some things apart from him. But the Bible also talks about how at the end of the age, at the end of time, that the work that was done, that was built on a firm foundation, that the work that God was doing through us, that is the work that's going to remain. And the work that we did on our own, you know, that was kind of from our own efforts, you know, a lot of that's going to be burned up. And the reason is because if God's not the one doing the work through us, then what he wants to happen is not really going to happen. It's just going to be a work of man. It's going to be what we can make happen, you know, but God does not want your life to turn out that way. He does not want your life to look that way. God wants to start building upon the work that he has started in his life, in your life, and he wants to see it to completion. You know, the good work that God has begun in you, he will complete it. But part of that process is us learning to submit our wills to him, us learning to submit our dreams and our goals and our desires to him, and to just simply wait upon the Lord and let him empower us, let him lead us, let him be not only the motivating factor there, but the empowerment that we need. And this is a verse that clearly demonstrates this. Ephesians 2, 20 through 22, it says, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, the gospel is the foundation. Jesus himself is the foundation for everything that God wants to do in your life. And then in verse 21, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And when it's talking about the temple, sometimes it's referring to our body, you know, as individuals, but also sometimes it's referring to the body of Christ. So this is saying that what God wants to do through the body of Christ and what he wants to do in your life personally, it requires God to be dwelling in your life through the Holy Spirit. And that's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for himself. It's not just, you know, this is not just something that God wants for us. This is something that God wants for himself as well. And that might sound crazy at first, but think about a loving parent. You know, a loving parent, I'm just going to use myself as an example. And I'm not a perfect parent. God is a perfect parent. But I think God uses parents a lot of times and that parent-child relationship to paint a picture of what he wants our walk with him to look like. You know, and so I have three young daughters that I love. And here's the thing. I want my daughters to spend time with me and to receive from me. You know, I want to provide for their needs for them, right? Because I love them and I don't want them to lack anything. And I want them to know that I love them and to experience that love, you know, and to feel like they've had enough time, you know, with their dad and to know that they're loved by their father. I want all those things for them, but I also love to be with them. And I believe God is the same way. You know, God wants to pour his blessings out upon us. He wants to empower us for us so that we can live a fulfilled life, and so that we can impact others, but he also just loves to be with us. God wants to dwell. That's what this verse says. It says a dwelling of God in the Spirit. God just loves to be with his children. God just loves to interact with us. He loves to know that we are, you know, like God is a safe place for us to go. God loves to know that we are a safe place for him to go too. And I know that sounds a little, you know, nuts to some people, but that is part of what intimacy looks like. It is realizing that God wants this just as much as we do. So I'm about to wrap this up, but before I finish, I want to share with you this picture the Lord gave me this week. When I was thinking about that verse, it talks about that when Jesus, the moment he died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn in two, and it was the veil that separated the people from the Holy of Holies. Remember what God said to Moses. He said, take your sandals off, for this is holy ground. When you're coming in here and getting empowered, this is holy ground. You know, there was the Holy of Holies in the temple of God in the Old Testament, where the people could not come in because it was God's holy presence, and sinful people could not enter his holy presence, you know, without being a priest and without going through all these ceremonial cleansings, you know. But now we get to come right into his presence, which is so amazing. But here's the thing. The reason we get to come in is because when Jesus died and he paid the price for our sin on the cross, he gifted us his righteousness when we believe in him. So everyone who was a believer in that moment, the Holy Spirit came out of the Holy of Holies and began to live in their hearts. And this is the picture the Lord gave me. You know, I've always thought about that moment of how amazing it was, especially from the time where I was filled with the Holy Spirit in college. I've always looked at that passage and thought, man, how amazing is that the Holy Spirit broke out. He ripped the veil for us, so that we could experience him, a new life in him, so that we could hear his voice, so that we could be filled with power from on high. You know, all these things. But I've usually always focused on myself or us, you know, or us experiencing God. But this is the picture God put in my heart this week, was that he was saying, Troy, think about it from my perspective. You know, think about the anticipation that I had when I was waiting for that veil to be torn. You know, when the Spirit of God was sitting there waiting for Jesus to die on the cross so that he could burst out and so that he could begin a real relationship with all of his children that he desperately wanted to know in an intimate way. You know, and I feel the same way sometimes when I'm away from home and I'm traveling back. You know, if I've been away, you know, overnight somewhere, and I'm traveling home, and you know, and I'm so excited to see my wife and kids and to be with them, the anticipation that I have, you know, it's so great. You know, I'm so excited to see them, to be with them. Yet God of the universe, who loves his children far more than I could ever love my family, think about the anticipation there. What God must have been feeling in that moment, you know, a great sorrow on one side where Jesus was giving up his very life, you know, for our sakes, but a great joy on the other side where God could finally come into our hearts and begin this personal relationship with us, and share himself with us, his power and his glory and his presence and his voice with us and his thoughts, you know. And so I really hope that picture stirs something inside of you right now. And if you know you need this, I encourage you to do two things. Number one, I encourage you to go watch that other video I talked about earlier where I spent some time waiting upon the Lord. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to show up in your life in a real way. And number two, I encourage you to take some time today to wait upon the Lord yourself, to get into his word, to read about the Holy Spirit, but also just to ask, say, God, I ask that you would fill me with your Spirit and with power. I ask that whatever gifts you want to use in my life, that whatever gifts you want to give me through your Spirit, that you would begin to, that those gifts would begin to show up, and that I would begin to walk in those gifts right now, today. You know, I think a lot of times we look at the future and we think, man, if I could just get to being here, if I could just become this like spiritually mature, then God could use me in a mighty way. That is not what God is waiting for. You know, the same way that the Holy Spirit was waiting for the blood of Jesus to be to cover our sins so that he could be in fellowship with us. That's the only thing God is waiting for today. The only thing we need to do, we don't need to get to some place, you know, where we have arrived or something like that. We just need to go back to that same message, the truth of the gospel, and say, God, I get to come boldly before your throne room of grace, not because of who I've been. It's not because I've reached some spiritual, you know, place of maturity. It's not because I've learned how to sin less than I did before, or something like that. It is because I am trusting fully in what Jesus did for me on the cross. And yes, there is spiritual maturity that happens. And yes, there is sanctification that happens. But those things are a result of faith. You know, the Bible says, and they are actually also a result of the Holy Spirit empowering us to live the way that God wants us to live. You know, this is a complete package, and it is sealed together through the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So I really hope you accept that encouragement today. I really hope you enjoyed this video. I'm really excited about a few things I want to share with you. Number one, if you have not gotten a free copy of my testimony book, My Mess. You can get it at troyblackvideos.com. It's a free downloadable PDF. Number two, I'm getting real close to releasing my new book that's all about overcoming worry. So please keep your eyes open for that. And then also, if you want to find out how you can support this ministry, these videos, my podcasts and books, and the things that God has called me to do, along with the other content that I'm working hard to put out on a regular basis, you can find out how you can support this ministry at troyblackvideos.com. I love y'all so much, and I'll see you next time.
You can connect with Troy Black on YouTube or Facebook. For more content from Troy Black, or to find out how you can support this ministry, visit troyblackvideos.com.